Hey, everybody. Matt Michaels here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, along with Rob Bussarelli, Sin City Steve, and straight off of his front row appearance in NXT, Travis.
With a
if you only knew how my phone exploded at that very moment, I was just like, what? But whatever. Yeah, little Yankees mug.
Didn't everyone think it was the guy who had the Undertaker face at WrestleMania? Is that who everyone was like, oh my god, it's him, he's back. Lost some weight.
Probably so. Yeah. No, the Yankees mug is full of tea. I obviously caught something in Vegas. Hopefully it's just a sickness and not a never mind.
Well, no, there's that.
That stays in Vegas.
You can catch a lot of things in Vegas.
That stays in Vegas.
Catch a case. Catch a cold.
We're going to drift away from Wrestling Talk's format here to kind of talk about a bunch of shit that's been going on in pro wrestling the last week. And starting right here in Las Vegas with NXT. Yes, Trevor.
I'm sorry. Can we update DJ Impact that when he goes to a different country, he can use the WWE Network app?
They don't have that on cruises.
You know, he's not on a cruise. He's in Toronto. And you try to pull up Peacock, and I'm like, dude,
he's on Lake Ontario cruise. He'll find a way to get on a cruise.
Here's the thing with DJ. He doesn't realize that in other...
He actually was at Lake Ontario.
Yeah. and he doesn't realize that in other countries he can still get cock. So he needs to just kind of relax and seek it out, and eventually he'll be able to stream all the cock he wants in any country. So,
hold on a second. I'm not hearing you 100%. He wants to stream what?
The cock.
The cock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or he's going to stream the pee. So right. If he streams the pee, yeah, that's cool. But if it's the cock, that's fine too.
Oh, you mean a pee stream?
Yeah.
Pee stream with his cock. P-stream.
Yeah. All right.
Subscription.
Here we go.
Gotcha.
So another an hour and a half of this kind of talk is going to happen. So Las Vegas is the host of NXT yesterday. It was something that was well anticipated in the town, considering it was probably one of the hardest tickets to get, being that it started at like $240, a small venue. No one goes.
It's not a hard ticket to get. That's an expensive ticket. That's an over expensive ticket. Starting price.
Hard ticket if you didn't work overtime.
Right.
Do you want to watch your main roster people lose? Come. We're going to charge you $250 to watch your favorite main roster guys get their asses kicked.
Yeah.
But out of the 300 tickets they put on sale, they actually sold 275.
Yeah.
So
at those prices,
you know, that was 275 tickets sold. Nothing, no giveaways. Okay, at Wembley Arena, we sold 275 tickets. At Wembley Arena, this was the biggest outing that we've ever seen in the lower loge ever.
Actually, there was. I can't give out the comps number, but I'm under the impression they can't say it was the biggest attendance in the UFC Apex because someone else may not like that quote.
Right. Very, very true.
And so they refrained from thinking about the attendance
right
record last night.
And you also had to know that with WrestleMania coming here, the the bigwigs and stuff, you know, if certain guys' kids wanted to go see NXT, they were fucking seeing NXT. So
and they were there.
Yeah.
They were there.
You know, and that place is a fucking fortress to get into. Anyone who doesn't live in Vegas, you have to. I mean, it is almost impossible to fucking deliver groceries to that goddamn place. It's, you know, it's like Fort Knox. So to be able to do this is very impressive. Now, I know that there are some opinions out there on what went on. Travis, you have some positive lights, and you also have some, you know, things that you little iffy on. Rob doesn't know shit from, you know, his head from his ass, so we got that going.
Oh, when it comes to NXT, no, I like watching enjoyable programming.
Right. Like, you know, Adam Copeland.
No, I'm not talking off
the top of a fence and breaking his leg. Yeah, enjoyable shit.
I mean, let's see. We figure we had six or minus two, so we had five D1 athletes throwing each other into ladders last night. Or we could rewind, a week, 2 weeks ago and have someone just set on fire on the same city? You know.
Blowtorch.
Whatever works.
I mean, I can tell you what I would rather watch. And I'm sure whatever
works.
What you would rather watch.
Whatever. Yeah. And what America would rather watch based on the ratings 2 weeks ago.
Hey, that's all good. That's all good. Just
was there because
people draw more viewers to a particular show doesn't impact whether I like the show or not.
Called
it out. He's impact is Steve's show. We all know that he's a TNA guy. So Steve, isn't it great that Ethan Page is now in NXT and that Jordan Grace showed up in NXT and that half their roster are now in NXT?
Hey, Ethan Page should have come in a ninja gi. He should have come in a karate gi and been karate guy. That's his best persona ever.
You know, I think that Ethan Page will definitely benefit from having a creative team behind him. And also he's got all of the tools. He just needs that little extra push to get him over the edge. And I think that he will get that in WWE. He is going to be a pivotal contributor to NXT and to the main roster in due time. Say what you will about giving him a title shot literally in his, you know, his first match in the company. Especially when, you know, on the other brand, if somebody's 9-1 for the year, albeit the last match that they lost, they shouldn't be anywhere near the world title. So, you know, it is what it is. I think that Ethan Page can put everything together. And, you know, Jordan Grace is literally just auditioning and getting the groundwork laid for when she makes the move to being in the WWE ecosystem. That's going to happen.
Agreed.
I don't know if Grisham would like you say that she's getting laid.
He was there also.
Especially her groundwork. Wow, thinking of her groundwork getting laid, Travis just dropped everything.
My ears are burning. I can hear this. I forget. Like, are we talking about the show? Because there's one thing I do want to bring up about the show. But it's in a match, so I don't know if we're going.
Yeah, go ahead.
Running down the show. No, I just it's. I guess I can do like the be on like the Twitter geeks and fantasy book for a second. It's just weird to me that three of the Gallus boys are keep beating up one Wesley and with a partnership with TNA.
Yep.
I think Wesley knows the two other people that could come save him.
Yeah. Trey's been hurt. So once Trey gets better and Hitler comes back, then, you know, he's got those.
Oh, he's injured?
Yeah, Trey's injured. Yeah. But he should be hopefully close soon. And that would be great. It would be nice to see them back together. It would be great to see, it would be great to see a second chance for
the Rascals. You mean?
Yeah, for the Rascals, and you know, and to give Hitler his chance again. and that's his gimmick. I'm sorry. You bring him back, he comes out as Hitler. Very simple.
So wait, does Wentz play Goebbels?
It's Hitler, Goebbels, and take your pick on the third awful Nazi.
Joseph Mengele.
There you go, everyone. You can if you need your Nazi history, you can go to Rob Bossolari at Boss Comedy.
Jeez, wait a minute. I'm already in enough trouble on a couple of shows I did.
Now you're saying going to his website. Will Impact be able to access that website from Toronto? Because obviously he can't access, you know, a few other websites.
First thing he has to access a shitter after eating all those cheesesteaks.
Oh, he's in Toronto now, so he's at a
poutine.
Yeah, poutine and Tim Hortons, you know. So
yeah, he's gonna be pretty clogged up. He won't have time for any.
Well, hopefully the wife has given him some poutine. So,
extra gravy.
So when you think about the show, you know, when you think about how it was done, just production value wise, you know, Travis, you know, knowing some of the guys and whatnot, that, you know, produced the show, filmed the show, etc. That was a pretty nice little setup. I thought that they did a great job with the Apex.
Yeah, the Apex is, it's really, like, I hate to use the generic term, but it really is state of the art. It's a fucking gorgeous place. If anyone gets the chance to go to a show, whether it's UFC, WWE, or whatever, at the Apex, go see it. Like, literally, you know, you see videos online of WWE wrestlers at the headquarters in Stamford, and they're walking down the hallway, or you see the picture, or even at NXT when they do the backstage stuff, you see the pictures on the hallways and stuff like that. And the Apex is about the same. They have actually all the jerseys and all the photos from each season of Ultimate Fighter. And they have a wall full of, like, all their belts. At first, there's a lot of belts on there. First, I thought I was at the AEW headquarters, and then I realized, yeah, they actually don't have a headquarters. But I think that was Cody's bus, and then never mind. But yes, yeah, so it's actually a really, really, really cool place. And Matt's got to blow his nose, or so he's got something going on there. So you bring up AEW, he starts playing with his nose. You see how that works?
Yeah, right.
But
he starts feeling ill.
That's a low blow.
But no, it really is a cool spot. I do know that there is very, very likely another Apex show booked before the end of the year. So it was cool. The production aspect, you know, seeing things right there. There were an even mix of UFC and WWE production crew working together. So I think that was probably the first show ever. Last night was a historic show. You know, it's not really, I don't think it's really a show for people to judge whether it be what seats were empty, what type of matches were there, who was on the card, who got their first match and a title match, whatever. It was a historic show, you know, and if you know the reasoning of the synergies of the two companies, and for the fact that the first ever UFC WWE show was actually presented by NXT, you know, that says a lot. You know, they had faith in that crew to come and put on a show. You know, they didn't use main roster guys, which they could have. So I'm sure the Apex will be used a lot for certain events during WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. And you know, who knows what else, you know, how much other influence do they even possibly run a UFC show, you know, that weekend as well, to bring
that in. Could happen. That really could happen. You know, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, I don't know where you put it, because you're obviously, wherever you put it, you're going against WWE. You know, if you put it on Friday, you're going against SmackDown, or the Hall of Fame. You put it on Saturday, you know, you can't, because it's WrestleMania. You can't put it on Sunday. So I don't know where you would put it, but there's a chance.
Theoretically, you could put it on Friday, let's say.
Yeah, because the 8 o'clock in time, and UFC starts at, you know, so yeah, I get that. And that's very possible.
Yeah, and the idea would be to essentially, because let's face it, SmackDown is only going to bring in, you know, 12,000-15,000, whatever the auditorium holds. So therefore, get the people in, go into another auditorium, and then you've got those 15,000 UFC fans where you get that number of those fans to go to WrestleMania the next day. That's not a bad fucking plan. It's just crazy to think that these two companies now work together. Like, you know, and is it true that Vicente McManus was trying to get in the building?
No, but I did. It was weird. I saw a guy, because they had food trucks out there. And there was a guy taking everyone's order via, you know, you tap your card. And,
did he have a pencil-thin mustache?
No, he didn't. But every time someone would take their card, he'd look at them and be like, "You're fired." And he's like,
did he serve the biggest grapefruits anyone has ever seen?
Yeah.
Anyone? I believe there's a court case of that. Someone has seen him.
Give her more soma.
All right. So, match wise, Steve, anything stick out to you?
The women's match. I thought that was the best match on the entire show in my view. I think that everybody brought it, and Travis brought up an excellent point. These are athletes that, you know, are still very new in the grand scheme of things, and they went out and, like I said, they had the best match on the show. It definitely exceeded the women's North American match.
The North American match. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. It over exceeded my expectations without a doubt. And, it got the show off to an amazing start, and really set the tone for everything. So extremely well done.
Rob, what sticks out for you?
I liked, Obafemi. And Wes, getting to see him again, I really, you know, I immediately was like, oh, okay, Joe Coffey, all right, whatever, he's got a crew with him. Wesley did an incredible job. And you're right, Obafemi is a monster athlete.
He's a monster.
The one thing I will say, and this is me regretting not watching more of the content on the program, is how good is somebody like this on the mic? Then now it is making me want to go and see. Yeah, all right. You see, and that's what I'm worried about. My worry is that I'm going, and this is a criticism that AEW has. I have those guys don't speak all that well on the mic. It's why I do like TNA, because a lot of them are really good on the mic. TNA really does draw people in who have good characters. Wesley did a great job. Obafemi looked amazing in the ring. So that was my favorite match. Just really like the dynamic of also having this Coffey guy come in with his whole crew, and this guy still wins. So
yeah,
that was enjoyable for me.
Boba Fett's pretty good.
There were some cool, you know, unique spots in that match. You know, like I said, we talked earlier, the delayed double suplex, which, you know, I've never seen anyone do. I've never seen, like, Big Show or Lesnar or anyone do that spot. Like, it's usually just both people go over at the same time, you know, very quickly, but he like held him up.
I had to rewind on that one because I was out of the room and I'm listening, and then I hear, I've never seen that before, and I had to go back and watch it a second time. That's something to be said.
The other spot was
a Braun Breaker and get to WWE and just rely on the strength and the speed. Or Braun Strowman type. Maybe he needs to be Braun Obafemi. I don't know. It seems to be a pattern here.
I think he'll be bigger than Strowman. Breaker is, we're still going to see how far they can take him. I know where they want to take him is how far he can get there. Another cool spot in the match was when Oba was kind of standing on the middle rope and he press slammed Wes Lee onto Coffey. In midair, it's like phenomenal. The guy's ridiculously strong. So, but yeah, that was a good match. The women's ladder match, you know, I think every match was good. You know, are we looking for Meltzer by the end of the week to give any match 5 stars? Of course not. You know, and even if there were, it wouldn't happen because of what company it is. But, you know, but for who these people are as humans, athletes, you know, like I said earlier, count how many people on that show that has actually worked an indie promotion. I think the number is like 5. You know, yeah, so it's like,
yeah, it's
that's crazy. That's, you know, people were like, oh, what does the PC do? I'm like, it proved last night what the PC does. It proved that they can put on an event for 3 hours with a bunch of students that are training, you know. So It was cool. It was cool. It was nice to see a NXT audience that wasn't in Orlando. You know, two different.
I was happy when they were calling out Roxy instead of Roxanne Perez. When they were chanting Roxy, I'm like, thank you.
There were some funny chants last night. I don't know how much. I don't know if it all made the air, but during the Ethan Page match, like there was one guy who's pretty loud. He was, you know, saying, "Tell Tony we want a refund." Like, I'll book your ticket back to Jacksonville. He was like going off, so that was hilarious. But you know, I feel last night's audience was a wrestling audience, not necessarily a WWE audience. You know, I think they could probably tell you some stuff about AEW, which makes them a wrestling audience, and you know, not just this is the company I like, so we're going to go there. So,
yep,
definitely put more than Collision did 2 weeks ago.
I mean, that's not saying much. Let's be real.
But you know, that actually brings up a good point when you have. To, you know, essentially major events. Let's face it, AEW is supposed to be a major company, right? That just based on a television deal. Really, there's nothing else other than money and television deal, right? There's nothing that you can say that because they didn't have a history, right? They were just created, right? NXT is something that we've seen as an evolving thing since Dusty created it, and it's gone through its different phases, you know, from Dusty to Triple H to Shawn. What's interesting about it is, once again, the tribalism of the internet. There really is no comparison between the two, and there shouldn't be, because of what you're saying. These are D1 athletes who have been trained in a particular style, and they're learning that style. And these are the people who we're already seeing moving up to the main roster and making a fucking impact on what the next generation of wrestling is going to look like. And then on the other side, you have guys who should be doing the same thing, but there's no facilitation of training. So you get guys who then are there, who unfortunately they do things for themselves, and unfortunately boss allows that, right? So it's something that has nothing to do with the talent itself or the product itself as much as it does in the ego behind what is going on. And just the pure fact that that little shit had to have his rollout minute at a pay-per-view for no fucking reason. If you weren't the guy getting set on fire, why the fuck were you out there, Tony Khan? Period.
Well, but that's what I want to say about AEW, though. AEW doesn't make any goddamn sense anymore in the way they book matches. So if I'm doing the booking and you're going on a feud with Travis, Matt, and it's you and Travis having a feud, and you start this big feud off Matt, you don't like the way Travis is doing things. He's a heel. You get involved. Next week, you're going to be wrestling Sin City Steve, who is a local wrestler.
Right.
Who's enhancement talent. Why the fuck are we skipping your storyline with Travis that you just had this big explosive storyline beginning, and then the following week we're going to have you wrestle some local shit? I don't understand why they do this every fucking week. WWE, I would get annoyed because they will take a storyline and they'll drag it out for 3 months with the same two people fighting. AEW will go, we'll get back to it in 3 months. And they lose all the momentum. Hey, where the hell is Adam Cole? Adam Cole is supposed to be the, you know, protagonist. He's supposed to be the guy running the kingdom, the Undisputed Kingdom. He's nowhere to be seen. He can at least go out there and do his little Bay Adam story, you know, storybook time, baby. He doesn't even do that. So what are we doing? You have a promotion where everybody's a heel. If you really get down to it, every single fucking person on that roster is a heel. If there is somebody who's a babyface, they're injured. Think of any babyface they have in that promotion. They're probably injured. Hook is That's yeah, but it. Hook could go.
There's your baby face. Hook.
That's it. Orange Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy, right. That's it.
And those two guys will be injured. Will Ospreay's on a heel faction.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's on a heel faction. But
the thing with.
Go ahead, Travis.
No, I mean.
Oh, no, I was just saying,
yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead. I was saying that the thing with AEW was. And I don't want to come in here and bash them tonight because, you know, they got 2 hours to do that this Wednesday and 2 hours to do it Saturday to bash their own selves. But there's just a lot of, and I'm not talking in ring. When you go to a WWE event, and, you know, they showed the video package on the pay-per-view last night. I wish AEW could do shit, would not even could, because they can't. I wish AEW can do stuff like that. You have two legit MMA fighters going to do a gimmick match, and you do a video package on them, and you get actual UFC fighters to talk about it. And I get they have access to those fighters. That's totally fine. But there are other MMA companies out there. There are other, you know, big other sports companies out there that AEW has access to that they don't build these video packages. One, they don't build the video packages. Two, they don't reach out to other celebrities to even try to get them to be
they
in
did video briefly, package. They took an idea from TNA, and I forget the guy's name. He's an Irish guy. It's like top American top team or something. It was something Dan that TNA Lambert. Did with Bobby Lashley, and then they brought that jackass over to TNA, to AEW, and they ran
The Dan Lambert stuff I thought was great. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed the Dan Lambert stuff. And, you know, it was funny, and they paired him up with Scorpio Sky because Sky's actually a legit MMA fighter. But Sky's actually an MMA fighter. You know, he's had a few matches, and he's a huge MMA fan. So it was like, you know, you had the mindset of those two together. I really liked that. It was like one of the things I did like about, you know, AEW at that time. But I'm not talking about bringing someone in to be a manager. Like, that's fine. You can do that every single week or whatever.
You want the actual booking and the collaboration behind the scenes.
Give me someone, not even behind the scenes, just in the video package. Yep. Shane Baszler's the Battleground video package. You had Josh Barnett. You had Forrest Griffin. You know, just speaking. And it's like AEW needs to fight because AEW is not cool right now. And it's not how many people you sign that's going to make you cool. It's what can you show these few,
right.
these 750,000, 800,000 followers, viewers that you have each week. What can you show them that's going to make your shit look cool that they're going to tell their friends, like, yo, I saw this really cool shit last night. Can you tune in next week just to check it out?
AEW, you know, had that video package that they did during the pandemic where everyone was doing that telephone video chain thing. They had all, at first it was Jericho and all of the guys from the Inner Circle. Then it went to Vicky Guerrero. It went to comedians. It went. They had a bunch of celebrities. This is like in the onset of AEW, like what, year two, year three. They did a lot of stuff like that, and then they just stopped. Which
they do stuff and they stop. Not to cut you off, but another thing that they did that I really enjoyed that they stopped doing was the Saturday Night Main Event style opening.
Yeah, exactly.
They did that for Collision. I was like, oh shit, this is cool. And they just stopped. I'm like, wait, no, don't. Like, that's cool. Like, someone who is not really fond of the company found something. I found something that was cool. And I wanted, it would make me tune in each week to just see this. And it's like, it's gone.
It's almost like as if they noticed that the ratings were on a downward spiral already. And they just started taking those things away that gave Collision its own identity. And really, they kind of cut their own throat with that.
Yeah, kind of like, I don't know, CM Punk. To start with.
Well, I just heard they lost the Revival. They're out.
The Revival.
Or FTRs.
The FTRs leaving the company?
No, Bald One is injured. So he's got to take extended time off.
See, what did I say? Babyface, injured.
So he's the one without the gun, right?
Yes.
That's what they should do. They should put him. They should put Dax with the guns now.
Yeah, just no.
If
we're going full circle with Edge and Christian, team Dax up with Billy Gunn and revive the Smoking Guns. you know, what a way to end Billy Gunn's career at 58 years old.
Now, hold on. Here's what I want to understand. I'm under the impression that Hikuleo is coming over to SmackDown soon.
Finished up with New Japan, yeah.
How many freaking Bullet Club guys are we going to have on this roster now? Just buy the goddamn rights to the name, and I would just love to see bring it like an NWO, have Bullet Club Invasion. I know they're not going to happen, but
fucking fabulous.
I don't think they know about the Bullet Club. They're just looking at who has a drop of Islander, you know, blood.
It's not Cody, it's definitely not. You've got the Good Brothers. You've got the Gorillas.
Yeah. Oh no, I know they're all there, but this isn't a Bullet Club thing. This is like, oh, you got a drop of Island blood.
I know.
Yeah.
Come on in. But you know, I mean, maybe whoever owns the Bullet Club. I don't know who owns that.
NJPW probably owns. I think you have to go through Kenta, if I'm not mistaken, on NJPW to get permission to be in the Bullet Club, and then he gives the blessing, which is how they were able to get Chris Bay and Ace Austin in there, because that was when Jack White came to, you know, TNA and just, you know, did that little stint there just so they can make their own little chapter over there. But now the Bullet Club exists nowhere except maybe NJPW. I don't know.
I was really shocked this past Saturday when they actually said the words Bullet Club Gold on Collision. They've not said words Bullet Club in so long. So I don't know. Blame Jay White for that one. But he was announcing everybody that came back. Obviously, Juice Robinson just came back. So he mentioned, you know, the four guys and then says Bullet Club Gold and immediately says the Bang Bang Gang. So it could very well have been.
That was a Freudian slip.
But it's really weird.
Ace and Bay are just the ABC now. They don't have the Bullet Club music anymore. They still have it on their ring attire, but I would love to just
that,
once.
But that also could be a choice. I haven't talked to Chris about it because if you're just doing the ABC, you're not having to give any kind of cut of Bullet Club to anyone. So, okay. Yeah.
So in other words, like residuals, just for him to be able to wrestle in that gimmick, you have to kick residuals over?
Probably do, I would assume. Okay. I would assume because that's why you don't see it in WWE. They're not going to, unless
it
gets tied up as a trademark, they're not going to touch that shit because they're going to have to pay out money and they're not going to do that. It's interesting. I think now that Juice is back, maybe Wentz can come over there and then they can have Juice and Wentz team together.
Cool.
Remember Juice, the coins and the Jewish stuff.
No, oh, God.
Put Wentz he was throwing with him. Hitler and the Juice. There we go.
Oh.
Nothing was better. And by the way, when they did the evil Jew gimmick, where he came out with the yarmulke on and the bloodshot eyes with MJF. That was so offensive that they removed it off social media and off the internet within about 2 days. You could not find that picture of MJF with the yarmulke and the bloodshot eyes.
Speaking of offensive, Rob, can you really quick give us a touch base, please? We haven't heard from Speedball Mike Bailey in a while. Could we see what's going on with him?
We're going to do... This is going to be the greatest show ever. This is going to be one of the greatest matches, and I'm going to bring the energy and do right by TNA.
Oh, boy. All right. So, Steve.
I actually met him last week at the...
He's a great wrestler, but he looks like when he talks, it's like the end of every Power Rangers episode with the freaking mullet and then the teeth. It just everything about it. It's like somebody left him in 1994 and then he just came out of a hole. And you're like, hey, yeah, buddy, here's the thing. You got this mullet going on and you've got the kung fu teeth. You got to update your look. No, it's what he looks like. You know, I'm just saying. He's wrestling barefoot over there. He looks like the beginning and the end of every freaking Power Rangers episode. He looks like, you know, he's got to fight the Megazord after a TNA match.
Oh, boy. Steve, AEW, what's been going on this week? Anything?
Hold on, wait. I hear welcome about? Jade. Is Jade here? Which Jade?
Not Cardgill.
Oh.
Sorry to excite you there.
Control yourself.
Yeah.
Is that Jade Kengill?
Oh, boy.
Oh, God day.
Jesus.
The official Jade
Cardgill. So, yeah. As far as AEW, the thing that really stood out the most for me this week was just how missed MJF has been. He came out to kick off Dynamite, cut an awesome promo, as is to be expected, calling out Kazuchika Okada, Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland. Yes, yes, and yes. Please give me all of those matches. Obviously, every single one of those will be an absolute banger. We all know that. The thing that really kind of stood out, in addition to that, for as far as the promo, was who came out and interrupted him? Roosh. Obviously, they teased it with a video package. I don't get this. You're going to take somebody who is not an amazing promo and put him up there interrupting arguably the best promo in your company.
He can barely speak Spanglish.
We saw how it turned out. I do have to say that, you know, yes, they did try to build credibility in Roosh saying that he was a multi-time Ring of Honor world champion and all, you know, all of that kind of thing. But at the same time, Roosh is anything more than enhancement talent.
Where is El Faction and Gobernales? Because that was the only thing that gave him some credibility, is having a mic piece and then having, you know, Preston Vance with him, you know, to be his corner guy.
Bro, they basically dissolved that faction and they fired. Well, they didn't renew the contract of Jose the assistant, who was the mouthpiece for the group. So, yeah, if they are going to be a faction, if that's actually going to be something, then just let Roosh cut promos.
I don't know if Preston
Vance
still
in
the contract. It never made sense to have that guy as part of such a faction.
Agreed completely.
That made no sense to me. However, he does need people behind him. If you're going to use him like that, make him what MJF was, whereas MJF had people surrounding him everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not like the guy isn't good in the ring, and it's not like he isn't imposing. But I want to see a Rock versus Jericho, you know, exchanging promo.
Right.
We're not going to get that from him. And Will Ospreay would have been a much better choice to open up with. He made fun of the guy for having, you know, crooked British teeth. He doesn't, which is what made it funny. And that would be the perfect example to have a Don Callis come out there with all those guys to beat the shit out of him. But they didn't do that. So I don't need MJF to put Roosh over. Roosh should be over in ROH and go dominate ROH,
yeah,
where it really doesn't matter right now. Until they do what they should do and make ROH Rampage and set that off into oblivion, I don't need to see Roosh on the main roster, their main roster, being mediocre.
You know, y'all are missing the point. It's every day is Roosh of day. So,
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. I think that guy's over in TNA.
They're missing the point that they could sell him as Rusev.
Rusev Day.
I do have to say too. I have to throw this out there. At least they are finally. They've always built match or announced matches. Can't say built. They've always announced matches. Matches for Rampage on Dynamite. They've always announced collision matches on Rampage, but they don't. They haven't really built those matches. They haven't made people give a shit. Thus why their ratings have been in the toilet.
Well, they do them a week before. They do them like on the day of.
Yeah.
There's no long-term storytelling.
Exactly. And the one thing that I do have to mention is, yes, this week they ran video packages after announcing these matches. They did it with the Toni Storm match with, Mercedes with Zeuxis. who is Stephanie Vaccour's tag team partner in CMLL. Instead of just saying where they have in the past, oh yeah, she's a tag team partner of Stephanie Vaccour, the person who Mercedes is going to be facing at Forbidden Door, they actually followed that up with a video package and showed why there was a connection there. So I see the ball starting to roll. For the love of God, can we please just get this professional wrestling shit under control and get things going and make people give a shit about your shows and about your matches from 1 week to the next?
What I liked that they used to do is have Taz do the profile in the video package where he's explaining the technical prowess and strength in the ring of these people. Even if it was somebody going against Team Taz, he would put that person over. And then they stopped that. There's also little things that they would do. When you had that opening video at the beginning of AEW Dynamite with the slow motion, Riho doing the swan dive slow motion, and you go, little things like that were cool. They need to get back to their roots and stop worrying about, they just need to be AEW again and do what worked in season one and two, if you want to call season. There were little elements and little things that made AEW look really unique. That they've abandoned, and they have too many shows, too many talent, and stop fucking putting all these enhancement talent people on your main shows.
Absolutely.
I there's people I like in this local scene. Hey, look at that. It's a Funny Bone shirt. Now I don't want to see Funny Bone wrestle freaking Wardlow for 1 week. And then, oh great. We stopped at Vegas. Wardlow beat the shit out of this local guy. It had nothing to do with the main storyline, and the main guy that he's actually feuding with is not even going to show up and like interrupt him or do a run in. We're not going to do that. That's my problem with them right now, is that it's like they get distracted way too easily.
I don't think they have too many shows, because they have the same, they have three shows, just like WWE has three shows. And I mean, you can even say if you count all of WWE, then they have
Speed.
Speed, Main Event, and Level Up. So it's like WWE actually has three extra shows. And it's not like, oh, these are, they're just matches. Like, yeah, but there has to be an agent who has to put these matches together. There has to be a referee who has to work the match, and there has to be commentators who kind of know about the match. So you're taking up those people's times to actually get one match over on these three different shows. So AEW can do it with three shows. He just doesn't want to,
I don't think he knows
how. Dynamite. Well, that's the thing. He probably doesn't know how to. Have Dynamite lead into Collision, but have your Rampage be the reason why you have to tune into Collision. You can have, you can open with a promo of Willow and Mercedes on Dynamite, and then that, you have Stokely say, okay, well, this Saturday, Mercedes, we're going to put you in a match against Statlander. And then on Rampage Friday, you have maybe Statlander do a quick squash. There's nothing wrong with using the local for 60 seconds, to get over, maybe have her get over a submission move.
This is the way I look at it. Remember what Dynamite was like when there was nothing else and they could not afford to do that. How good was that show? When the big surprise was Moxley coming in, how good was that Moxley Jericho feud? It was freaking great. They did some good stuff because they had to purify what they were doing. They could not afford to take chances. And then you had Dark and Elevation. Fine, go put Paul White there to do shitty commentary with Tony Schiavone, and it's not. I don't have to worry about it so much. And if there was,
look at that roster then, though. I mean, right. There were way less people there than there was now. Like, what are we sitting on right now? We're all waiting for Ricochet to come over. Another fucking person to come over for that company. It's like, okay,
He's gonna put on bangers, Travis. He's gonna put on bangers with Ospreay, and it's gonna be fucking amazing. And he's gonna get 9 stars from fucking Dave Meltzer's asshole, and it's gonna be incredible because it's fucking Ricochet, and he was so fucking great in WWE because he was Ricochet, and he has all this charisma. He used the wrong. Who fucking cares? It was goddamn Ricochet. Big fucking deal.
Yeah. No, I agree, but you know what? in
just
the
right anyone. It's in like
in the right thing. Look at how good Mustafa Ali did in TNA. That's his best persona. They just needed to find a way to use the guy.
But yeah, TNA doesn't have the people, the amount of roster members that AEW has. You know, I we can go back and look how Rosa Perrazzo had a title match with Toni Storm, got screwed out of it. Deonna Purrazzo had a title match with Toni Storm, got screwed out of it. 4 weeks later, Thunder Rosa has a title match with Toni Storm, got screwed out of it. So, like, the next day, like, she starts a feud with Deonna Purrazzo. They do something for 2 weeks, and then they vanish for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, they're finishing their feud this Saturday. It's like, wait, well, I mean, it's like Rosa wrestled a jobber 1 week, and Purrazzo wrestled a jobber. That's fine if you're wrestling jobbers. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, it's weird that someone can main event, or that we go from when Rosa had the title match against Toni Storm, 4 weeks later she's the opening match on the fucking three show.
Yeah,
Ethan Page is not going to be a fucking opening match on the next takeover show in July. I can guarantee you that.
Yep.
I can guarantee you he's not going to be the opening pre-show match in next month in July. And well, that's, I mean, just it, how...
Like, it could be even worse. I mean, you just had Scorpio Sky cut a promo or have a vignette, 4 weeks ago, saying how he was going to be coming back. And then he vanished off TV again for another 3 weeks, only to show up this week on Collision in a really weird backstage vignette promo. And it left me with more questions than answers.
He's like the savior of the masses or something, and he's here to save the company, and he knows that people don't like the company. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
But is it like, are we, you know, are we seeing Scorpio Sky only because his tag team partner went somewhere?
That is...
Ooh, that's a really... Ooh.
Yeah.
And so how long is that run going to go?
Well,
2 weeks. Know.
But that's my thing with Ethan Page, though. He's been a lot of guys' tag team partners. I don't see him getting past NXT. I think he's decent, but I don't see him getting past NXT.
That's fine. That's fine because there's so much else in the WWE system that you can do, unlike in AEW. If he doesn't get past NXT, he's at least probably going to get a video game character, a couple shirts out of it.
Yeah, I think he'll get an NXT title run, the main belt.
A limited, no tour schedule, you know. So, and you know, maybe the chance if he gets on fire to get called up. You know, there's so much he can do. Where in AEW, I thought he was injured, and he wasn't.
The biggest problem we're forgetting here is that NXT is going to the CW. So who fucking cares if you get called up to the main roster? If you're making that type of exposure on CW, you're doing two things. One, security, right? Which you are going to have now because you're going to have national exposure. And two, you have a better brand. So if he never goes up to the main roster, guess where he can go? I don't know. Back to a place like AEW. Command more money at TNA. Go to the independents and get more money.
Yeah, that's fair. Because
he's on national fucking TV, not a cable outlet.
That's fair.
That's a big thing.
That is fair.
He deserves it. The guy's a fucking great guy. So it's nice to see him get a chance.
Absolutely.
And his opportunities won't be blown like Father James Mitchell.
Or someone, or a certain owner on Twitter at 1 a.m.
Yeah, they should.
Or someone else.
Hey, man. Hey.
Excuse me, Father J. Mitchell, I want you to come on AEW so we can exchange lines.
Rob, it's all good because he books for the sickos.
Yeah. But, you know, another thing that I noticed, you know, being there live was how the fans were, jumping back to Battleground, how the fans actually were chanting the TNA name.
Yeah.
And it just shows how, because, you know, it took me back to where, was it 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when AEW had a working relationship with TNA. But, you know, I mean, we might as well just speak about the truth. TNA talent was not allowed on AEW television. You know, it was always Tony and his crew going over to TNA. And, you know, even Tony went, you know, over and did the promo with the sunglasses on and, you know, got in the ring and so forth. But it's like, they kind of, like, he wouldn't let any TNA wrestlers be on his show. And it's like.
And then he interrupted the TNA broadcast. He would do his commercials with Shivani.
Yeah, but it's like, look how well WWE is working with TNA now. You know, it's like night and day. You know, it's just whatever.
So should they have their own forbidden door?
They've already forbidden doing it. And they're doing it now because they don't have to call it that. Because yeah. They know it's like, it's a ridiculous name. Like, how is it a forbidden door when most of the people on your roster at least work on Dynamite 2 or 3 times a year?
It was an interesting thing. Bully Ray was commenting on that. He hates the term forbidden door because he said there's been cross promotions going on for 30 years. Why are you trying to act like this is a new concept?
Well, and don't forget, too, Bully Ray, with him, there are no forbidden doors. He's gone through every single one of them, and table and ladder. So, you know.
No, but he's right, though. It's like, you know, I mean, a lot of the people who are on Forbidden Door, like I said, work in AEW to some extent throughout the year. So,
I mean, well, here's an example. Cool, it's only a few years back. Ago, Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling sold out Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
And that was only like what, just before, you know, about 6 years ago. You can't really call this a new concept if you just did this.
That's right.
To a certain person, it is a new concept.
Yeah.
And Jim says that Bully Ray's also gone through Mae Young. So that's definitely true.
Give Mae Young a hand.
I'm sure he's coming back.
Bully Ray's gone through Dixie, too.
That was a great one. That was a great one there. The entire roster circled the ring. That was great.
Door. Anything after that is just shit. Yep, Jade got it right there. I'm sure Vince has gone into the Forbidden Door business every once in a while, too. Rob, tell us about the Forbidden Door.
The genetic jackhammer is going in from behind. Tell Linda. We shouldn't have even had Stephanie if she would have moved the other direction.
All right, Travis. So these guys have been going on forever about AEW, main roster, WWE. Can it get any better than what's going on right now?
I mean, everything, there's always room for improvement for everything, you know. So, I mean, WWE is in a position where. It's, I mean, what can you say? Every smaller pay-per-view, don't let Swerve hear that, or whatever, premium live event, whatever they called it. They got a little Twitter argument, or argument was, and Twitter took it to the next level. You know, every smaller event is international. So that's where that company sits. You know, they can be like, hey, you know what? We run 4 big shows a year in the States, and the other 8 are going to be all international. That's where that company is, and that's what they can do, you know. And the shows are on Saturday, so they run that Friday in an international city as well. So,
how else are you for a successful Clash at the Castle? Because to me, it just looks like a carryover one. I don't see any titles changing or anything significant happening. Maybe some run-ins to set up SummerSlam or something.
Isn't Drew wrestling Damian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, you know, Drew. It's like, I mean, it's not like I'm going in there thinking that there's going to be a pay-per-view of the year. You know, it's just another event. We're here. We're going to watch it because it's a pay-per-view. But if we get something great.
For Fragile Phil on that match?
Absolutely.
I think there's a possibility.
But do we see Drew win the title? Because we know it's already pretty much fucking, you know, blueprinted that Ospreay's going to get the title at Wembley.
And that's what everyone's comparing the two champions right now. Everyone's saying how Swerve and Priest are pretty much transitional champions. You know, it's like who they think there's a line on who's going to lose it first. You know, does Damian actually lose it this weekend? You know, does Swerve lose it? What, 2 weeks later? You know, so it's like, you know, we'll find out, you know, if they're going to be transitional champions. I always said, like, I mean, at least for Swerve, I never felt that Ospreay would walk out of London not champion.
Right.
You know, I thought that was the reason to fight to really get him, was to promise him that.
It's going to be Zack Sabre Jr. It's going to be Zack
Sabre. As far as Priest or Drew in Scotland is like, you know, he's already lost before in that part of the world. You know, would a second loss mean anything when he already has a feud built up against someone huge? Not really. You know, would a title win mean anything? Of course it would, to an extent. You know, I mean, would Drew winning the title really mean anything, or is it just a, you know, sentimental, you know, video piece we're going to see over and over again?
Does anyone have a cash in the case they haven't cashed in yet?
No, that was
the pay per view. Is the Money in the Bank right after this?
That was Drew.
I'm just wondering. Like, is the case that Otis had like 3-4 years ago? Is there a case that's never been cashed in that can all of a sudden just show up and someone fuck him out of the belt again? That would be for me the highlight of a pay per view.
And then Bradshaw could just like hammer that gavel and go, yeah, this is a live case now. That was the most ridiculous way they got that off Otis. That made no sense.
As long as Roman stays off TV, I think that they can do whatever they fucking want to do now.
I mean, they are. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, the SmackDown numbers are staying pretty steady without Roman. So that says a lot right there. You know, it's the company is on cruise control right now. You know, you get through this weekend and then you have Money in the Bank, which is a bigger show now. And you do it. Two ladder matches, you'll have something to talk about at the end of the show because you're going to have people with briefcases. And then from there, it's on to SummerSlam. And then it's, you know, cruise control until Survivor Series begins. So it's like you have these ups, you know, Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, then you're just back on cruise control till
the King and Survivor Queen Series. Of the Ring, though, I feel like they launched that prematurely, because now you've got Nia Jax kind of sitting there waiting for something to do, and they're trying to build a story around her. And the same thing with Gunther, where you're now kind of got them in a holding pattern, trying to just get them enough momentum until you finally decide to have, you know, get them to SummerSlam. I want her to be in the Bloodline formally on camera as a Bloodline. So bad.
But the holding pattern is, but that's how WWE is, though.
Right.
When you win the Money in the Bank, you're not cashing in the next day. I mean, you could.
This is a new thing where they've made the King and the Queen of the Ring actually have a direct correlation with a match. So this is
no different than, but that's no different than the Royal Rumble then. Right. Royal Rumble's in January. WrestleMania is in April. It's the same road.
That's
you know, it's like I said, that's just how they book, you know. Rumble to Mania, King of the Ring till SummerSlam.
I guess my thing is more with Nia Jax is I feel that maybe, if anything, it's that she doesn't have strong mic skills, but I feel she's so underutilized.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Are you really saying this about Nia fucking Jax? Underutilized? All we've seen on our TV since she's come back is Nia.
Yeah, she's done great matches, but I'm talking about how they're booking her and what purpose they're using her.
See what you did, Rob? You made him fucking rage quit. Look. He's fucking frozen in a pissed off face.
He looks like
he looks like he's right about to tell you to fuck off.
Either that or he looks like he's got a shit in the chamber. I don't know.
Maybe both.
Oh, man.
I love this. This is so, so good.
I do so have to also right throw this in there just really quickly. Spoilery somewhat. We all know that Ricochet is no longer going to be with WWE after tonight. And yeah, for those of you that have seen what happened on Raw, it was pretty interesting. He,
I am now the king of the ring. You see,
he got power slammed through a fucking windshield, so he took a glass bump in his send off from WWE to go to AEW.
Don't mean to interrupt, gentlemen. We need a bald white guy now. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, everyone saw the car windshield spot, you know, and everyone knew what it was. Like instantly, everyone knew like what it was.
Paul, the big question, do this for me.
Big question is, you know, they almost wrote some act off. Also,
really,
she jumped in the ambulance and never, you know, took off.
Yeah.
Ooh. So I haven't heard anything in the past few hours about her, but it was like it could have been a write off for her. I'm not saying it is, at all, but you know me, at least we know for Ricochet that was definitely, you know, the farewell, and you know, he did his time, you know. He did, I think, the best he could do in that time. Not everyone is fit for that company, but he had a long career. Luckily, he was around NXT Black and Gold, so he had some memorable matches. I think he had more memorable spots than he did matches.
Yes.
You know, we can always remember the flip over the top rope and standing right in front of Velveteen Dream in NXT, and then obviously the one that went viral the most. Yeah, because it's Logan Paul, so that one went viral the most. I almost think the flip over the top rope was more impressive.
Yeah.
Because to do that and land on your feet right in, like, at the right spot, like, that's
stick the landing.
He needs that Mustafa Ali experience. He needs to go into a place that can build a story around him and
definitely
come up with a character. He's not far off. He's one of those wrestlers. Him and the Street Profits are wrestlers who are like, you're just there. You've got the look, you've got the moves, but something's not clicking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Street Profits, it was clicking, but then they started changing things. They took the red cups away from the entrance. They changed the music. And then that's when they just started to flounder. You know, there's certain things that people need. And, you know, so not everyone like Bailey can kill the inflatable, you know, entrance tubes and then, you know, but become bigger. You know, everyone thought like Bailey can't get any bigger than she is because she was huge at that point with the inflatable buddies. And they, you know, she took that away and just became even a bigger star. So,
What do you think about them having valet now? Having the what's her name in the corner from
B-Fab.
Oh, B. I mean, if I was going to give them a valet, it would be Bianca.
Yeah.
I mean, it only makes sense.
I don't know why they didn't do that shit. I mean, it was right there. It was a fucking layup. Like.
Yeah.
And she's over. So, they're over. The two of them together.
I mean, because you also then you had Naomi and
Michelle.
And the Usos. So, you know, I mean, it's like, there was so much writing you could do from a intergender match to a six person match, you know, the women's match with the four guys in the corners, the tag match with the two women. There was so much you could do, but, you know, they didn't do it.
When she came to TNA and you find out that her real name is Trinity, that is such a cooler name than Naomi. I would have loved for her to come back just like Chelsea Green did and just be like, I'm Chelsea Green. I'm Naomi. And I'm not Naomi anymore. My name is Trinity. That's my real name. That would have been cool.
They could easily do something with that, with the TNA working arrangement.
And they did that because The Rock showed her as Trinity.
There Yeah. Like you, Rock, could have her go back tree. To TNA. Yeah.
They showed her as Trinity Fatu on the on that tree. What I want to see is
you have to remember names mean a lot in WWE though. When it comes to marketing.
Granted. I mean, this is what her name is. This is where her name is recognizing. Well, that was the thing when Dana Brooke came out and they said, it's Dana Brooke. I mean, Ash by Elegance. I was like,
yeah.
What the hell is by Elegance? I'm still trying to figure out what the hell that even means. Ash by Elegance. You're not Tony Storm. You're not Timeless Tony Storm. Stop it. But I want to see a Bloodline Civil War. It seems like it's an easy one. It's a layup.
Survivor Series, bro.
And and you could have Naomi versus Nia Jax. You could easily do that. You could easily have Nia Jax go, you know, you guys never respected me. You never brought me into the Bloodline. I'm part of the actual family, and you drag some assholes from another island. Have her join that faction, and then have Naomi go in there. Have freaking 4 versus 4 intergender. It would be awesome. I would be super over on that one. I'd be so freaking happy if they did that in some capacity, or have it like a pre-match be the two of them fighting with some stipulation on the line.
I think you'll see if they choose to go into a route similar to that, I would see it being a singles match and then having the men in a match unto themselves, like a Survivor Series elimination match. But yeah, I'm all for loading up the sides, get the Bloodline Civil War going. And I think that's what you're going to see. Obviously, Hikuleo's contract ends with New Japan. He's going to be coming over. He's going to join up. And then Jacob Fatu is somebody that's, you know, seemingly forever linked to WWE at this point. So maybe he comes in as the answer to Hikuleo.
That would be freaking awesome. And what I want to see is the tiebreaker. I want to see this match get to its apex, and then you hear the Rock's music. That would be the fucking top, where he just comes out and goes, I run all of this shit. One of you go over to Raw, and one of you go over to SmackDown. I want you to run through both rosters, both promotions. Go through them like toilet paper. I want the Bloodline running everything. That would be another way to do an NWO-style takeover. Not saying they have to do that, but that would be amazing. Where they fight it out, they fight it out, they fight it out, and then The Rock brings them all together in some capacity.
I mean, I think that's likely the end point of that. They all come back together. It's different than, you know, the episode of Raw where Davey was taken on Owen, and then Brett came out and got them back together, you know. The formation of the Hart Foundation at that point. So
I'm also interested to see where Paul Heyman goes with his character now, because this idea that he's completely afraid of Solo Sikoa and he's even afraid to throw up the ones. All of this is really interesting. You're going to really have to see Jimmy Uso, though, get into shape. When they had Jimmy versus Jay and he was flabby as hell, he's got to get himself into some sort of fighting shape, and he doesn't have to do all that much, but just get a little bit looking a little bit better than he was.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the history of the Samoans, or just Samoans in general,
they're not super toned. I get it.
Yeah, in general, in life, you know what I mean?
But like, versus, you know, versus his brother looks.
Look at, yeah, you know, I mean, that was the thing that they always prided on, was that they could be a Samoan tag team and not be the wild, you know, Ongo Bongo, you know, savages and stuff like that. They were bringing
the first couple of years, and then they thankfully transitioned.
No, but they always spoke. They always spoke English. You know, it wasn't like they weren't wild. You know, okay, so it's right. You know, they weren't Umaga. They weren't the Afa and Sika. You know, they weren't the Islanders who never spoke. You know, they were, you know, the current generation of a
they never
a
had Samoan. To call Vince to bury their ex-girlfriend.
No comment. From the guy across the street who's not part of the Blood. Why?
Yeah, no shit.
There were Bloods and Lines that night.
Oh man. No, so did we lose Matt forever?
Matt's got that NWA connection.
You know, I can't believe that you actually made him rage quit, Rob. This is a first.
Maybe he didn't pay his bill.
Fucking T-Mobile's on him.
I want Nia Jax.
Too bad he didn't get stuck doing this.
Exactly.
Nia Jax will be the new Jade Cargill.
What?
No comment.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. So,
I honestly think they have something big set up for Bayley post SummerSlam. So I don't know if Nia is going to be getting the title.
She needs to. I do like the idea of Tiffany teaming up with her.
That sounds great. You know, like if Nia was like the heavy for Tiffany, you know, the bodyguard, that would be awesome. You know, and that's how Tiffany.
I think they were approaching it from the other perspective of Tiffany running interference for Nia, the way she made it sound. I've got your back. Consider it. Don't know what they're going to do.
I didn't see the show, but you know, I mean, if there's some way like Nia becomes like the bodyguard, that would be great. So,
but why would she do that if she's the one with the crown? Why would she do the bodyguard gimmick again, like it was, you know?
Well, I'm talking post SummerSlam.
Okay.
Like Nia's road is already set. You know, nothing's changing between now and SummerSlam. But it's after SummerSlam. Like I said, I was under the impression that there's something bigger for Bayley post SummerSlam with the title. So I don't know if Nia's getting the title at SummerSlam. And if she does it, then she'll need something to do. And I think a bodyguard role type for Tiffany would be a pretty interesting.
I would like to see Nia with the title. I think she's put in the work. She's earned it. She's paid her dues this season. The match she did in Australia was great. The match with Becky Lynch was amazing. She's doing essentially Iron Man matches almost. And she hasn't botched anything in a while, as far as I can tell. She's wrestled safely.
She's good. You know, I could almost even see her going down to NXT and winning the NXT title.
Uh-oh. Hold on.
Yeah, God knows we can't have more than one bald guy on the show. God.
The bald head is on standby.
So I actually do like that idea of having Nia go back to NXT and just kind of run roughshod. I think that's definitely something. And you could even play up the fact of, you know, her being the queen of the ring, and have her just go and rule NXT.
From that perspective, I could see it.
All right, wait. I've been off for 14 minutes or so. You're still talking about Nia Jax. Rob, at least do an impersonation of me, please.
We already did.
Let me hear it. Come on, Rob. Give me some Nia Jax.
You know
Jax
what, Rob? This is
me.
Fucking ridiculous. This is almost as bad as when you were chasing after Jade Cargill for 5 fucking weeks, and now you want Nia Jax to sit in your face, all right? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking the whole time I was trying to fix this internet problem. Thank you, Rob. You nailed it. Shut the fuck up, Rob. Nia fucking Jax. Why are we talking about her for 20 minutes? Jesus Christ. What, the next thing you want Tamina talk? Oh, Tamina should be in the fucking bloodline because, I don't know, she has blood that's in the line. Big fucking deal. Who cares? Next.
Well, there are those. There's that tag team who's a free agents now. The Tonga Twins,
the Renegades or whatever the hell they're called.
No, not the Renegades. Oh. They're actually Samoan or they're twins. Right. They were on WoW. They quit WoW. So they're
hold free on. Agents. Let me do the Matt Michaels. Wow, I'm still not fucking interested.
Pretty much.
See, I'm good at this.
Pretty much. You know, let's stick to the gentlemen of the bloodline because, you know, they're interesting.
You don't like Naomi Hello. Trinity, Fatu, Johnson, Jenkins?
No, I don't like her Johnson and his Jenkins or whatever the fuck you're talking about. Who cares? Next. Okay, so what else do we want to talk about before we wrap this shit show up?
Tune in on Wednesday to watch another shit show?
That's right.
Yep. What? Sponsored by Woo right. Energy.
Yeah, what's the rundown
for matches? You got to have the can.
That's a good. See, that's a good one-liner. You know what I want to see over there? Shinsuke Nakamura. When is he finally just going to get the fuck out of his contract and get over to AEW or go back to NJPW?
Dude, Nakamura is making that WWE main roster money to go surf and just relax and
retire. He is not leaving.
He ain't leaving, brother. No.
All right.
I did find it funny that he was getting that soft little push right before Okada signed with AEW, and then as soon as Okada signed, Nakamura done. He hasn't, nothing worthwhile.
Nah. It is what it is. They had hopes. I mean, it's cool that talent can be free agents and hear from both companies.
I completely agree.
I think fans should understand that. It's cool that they have the option to hear from both companies. And not everyone's going to go to WWE. Not everyone's going to want to resign with WWE, and that's totally fine. Like I said, that for every person that leaves WWE, there's always three that want to come over.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously there's this in sports where there's no trades, but if Ricochet leaves and Ricky Starks comes in, that's almost like a trade. So
there's that.
Are we going to see Becky Lynch on the nose 3 months from now? Or is she raising her kid? Nose.
Becky Lynch in AEW?
Yeah.
No.
That's not even the option. If you resign your contract right now, you're locked into when it's going to start, which would be immediately.
Right.
So it's like you give them a verbal that you're coming back, but you're not going to sign anything right now. And who's to know? She may have even signed. Like, these journalists don't fucking know everything. So it's like she may have actually signed.
Did you say Uncle Dave doesn't know everything? How dare you?
Mike Johnson blasphemy. Just called about this earlier today on Twitter.
Speaking of somebody that is possibly leaving, what do we know about Chad Gable? Do we know anything on his status at all?
I think we'll find out Saturday.
I think we will.
This is a really good angle. He's become a very good heel.
Oh,
he's
doing his best work he's ever done.
He wins the title, obviously we know he's saying. I actually know the answer. I can't say it on air, but but it's like, even if he left, like, where's he going?
Right.
I mean, TNA would be great.
Yeah, TNA would be the landing spot for him, for sure.
Definitely not AEW. Like, what's he going to do in AEW? Because
he's
going to
wrestle Daniel Bryan, and they're going to have an amazing match, and it's going to be 9 stars in the Tokyo Dome.
Chad Gable, that's not even his name. So it's like, here we go. Back to the real
name.
What
is his name?
The branding, yep. That's why branding is so important.
I actually forgot his real name.
Is his real name? Chad is not even, there's not even Chad. Okay.
No, it's Gable Stevenson.
Yeah. The one I met a long time ago, about 10 years ago, I met John Moxley, and I said, my coworkers, this is at Fry's, and they were like, "Is that Dean Ambrose?" And I went up to him and going, "Excuse me, are you Dean Ambrose?" And he didn't respond. It took like 3 asks, and he went, "Oh yeah, man." And I tell you, that is not a gimmick. He really is. That is him all the time. And I said, how are you doing? And he goes, what do you mean? I'm like, Kane, just put your head through cinder blocks. Oh, yeah, that was awesome, man. Oh. So you got any iPods? And I was like, what? like they had smartphones then. Like I was like, what? Who the fuck buys an iPod? Okay.
You know, but he's one of those that went there and is happy. And
he's a cool dude.
That's great for him. And like it's there's a lot, you know, there's a lot that can go over there and be happy. There's a lot that want to try things else when
But those are also guys, you know, the guys that are happy there are the guys who can do anything they fucking want there.
That is true. You know, I mean, it's like
your EVPs.
They're not even them, but it's like Dean Ambrose goes there, he's happy. He can come back and be world champion and main event WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan over there, he's happy. He can come back and be world champion main event WrestleMania. Edge is over there and he's happy. He can come back and world champ WrestleMania. Like, you know, Jericho, you know, you go on and on and on. It's like there's certain guys that, you know, they have the freedom to just have fun right now. You know, not that they weren't having fun in WWE, because when you walk around and you walk through the airport and the TSA knows you by your WWE name and what you did last night on SmackDown, or if you walk through the car rental. No, but this is shit that happens. And because it kind of, not going to say it boosts their ego, but it makes them feel good because it's like, hey, you know, I'm in the top fucking company, you know. And but now it's like a lot of guys who do that that are at AEW is like, hey, you know, sucks you're over there, or you know, I used to watch you when you were with the Brood and stuff like that. Is very rarely, and this is not a knock on AEW, you know, to a certain extent, but it's like a lot of these guys get, you know. Their memories get brought up of past stuff they did in WWE, and it's like, well, I'm doing shit. I just jumped off a fucking top of a cage and broke my leg. Didn't you see that? It's like, oh, didn't know there were.
Yeah, that was like the TNA promo for Nick and Nemeth. He goes, "You're only ever going to be known as Dolph Ziggler."
Yeah, that's because of the branding. Yeah, you know,
it's a good promo to make if you're gonna, you know,
that shows how strong the branding is with WWE, you know, and that's. That's something Tony needs to jump on. You know, you can be cool with these, like you can still have these people as friends with still a stage name, you know?
Mercedes Moné, though, they're doing her right with that QR code, and they're trying to put her over big time and put a lot of money behind her.
Yeah, great.
The QR code was a nice touch for sure.
Yeah. Okay, but like I circle back to, wasn't there a story that a certain writer got hired just to because of Mercedes?
Yeah.
So it's like, are they doing a good job, or did like they hire this person who knows the fucking way to do shit? You know, it's like,
or is
no? If you said that about Statlander or Perrazzo or Rosa or Willow, then I would be like, you know, that's great. But when you have to go out and hire someone, you know, from another company, because like they're just bringing their mindset from the other company, and QR code. Gee, you know, wonder where she got that fucking idea from.
And not only
that's good though. I mean, look, if they have to borrow an idea from WWE, do it.
That's fine, but why give it to your main stars? Like I said, give something cool to your Willows, your Statlanders. Your main stars are going to be seen as main stars anyway. You hired them because of who the fuck they were. Not because you can create a QR code to make them even cooler. They're not cooler. Because if they were, I mean, actually, they are cooler. They're just not hot. But, you know, like, let your main stars just make the ratings or whatever based off of who they are. Let's start building up your other talent. You know, give me a QR code about Stokely and Willow and Statlander.
But
at least like some stupid R&B song by Stokely.
But it comes down to a simple fact. The chick is there because in that company, you can get your friends hired, and your friends don't have to do anything that is beneficial to anyone else but their own little clique. That's the fucking problem. From day one, the only fucking control has been under a guy who doesn't know how to run a business. I don't care if it's a wrestling company or anything else, because he's never fucking done it. He's not the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Daddy is. And that's it. And you know, Shad just wanted that little prick out of his fucking hair. Here, have a wrestling company. I don't give a shit. Get out of my mustache, kid.
Get out of my mustache.
No, but it's true, because you went so far to do an angle that closed the show with your dad, and you never followed up with it.
They never follow up with any of their great gimmicks. That's their sin.
Even if it was just something backstage of Shad saying, "It's the only time you're going to see me. I just wanted to check on you. This is your project. I'm not going to touch it. I was just making sure you're good."
But he wore the neck brace at the fucking draft.
And they
praised him on Busted Open for that. They said at least he's doing some attempting to do some long term.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
it had people talking, but at the same time, he had 3 minutes on the NFL Network and brought up WWE.
Right.
Like, why, dude? Like, you got 3 minutes on the NFL Network. Bring up your own
show.
Don't company.
Don't bitch about somebody else.
Exactly. Like, build up your
bring
own.
Bring up your own company. Bring up your world champion. You know, you want to. Like, why do I have to keep hearing it from Swerve that he's the first black champion? Why can't I hear it from the company? Because WWE harps it down everyone's, you know, throat. Not that there's anything wrong, but you know, they make sure people remember. You know, it's like
this February, let's honor our new champion, Bobby Lashley.
But it's stuff like that. They at least do the video packages or whatever. It's like they at least do it. It's like
here's Bobby Lashley with Dr. Martin Luther King.
You can go on Instagram and look at the past 24 hours of how they fucking just made Battleground look amazing. And I can go back to Instagram for 24 hours after Double or Nothing and probably see absolutely nothing. You know, so it's like.
Oh, that's funny. Double or nothing. We got nothing.
All right, kids, we're wrapping this up. Final thoughts, Steve.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
There you go. Rob, what shitty shows are you doing?
Oh, boy. Oh, you're just such a good friend.
Burial.
I'm going to be, and I'm looking for it right now. Dang it. Yeah, here we go. I am going to be on a I'm going to be on a on the 20th performing at a LGBTQ pride show. So you're gonna get a chance to see Donald Trump in drag.
Oh my god.
And I'm going to be the prettiest little princess that anyone's ever seen. Never ever have you seen drag done so well. Okay, this is the NASCAR of drag race, believe it. And by the way, we're going to be going in right circles the whole night. It's going to be drag like you've never seen it before, believe it.
Oh my god. With that, Travis, following our old boss there, any final words?
Oh, no. It's been a long day.
You can't follow it. It was so good.
Tell you what. That Vegas fucking airport. Jesus Christ.
No shit.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. What a fucking day. I mean, I made it out on time, but it was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I actually did for the first time the keyless at the hotel. The keys on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, that was a pretty unique thing. Especially since when I checked in, I went down to the pool for a few hours. Going back to the room, I'm freaking out. I'm like, fuck, I lost my key.
Where's the key?
All right, hold on a second, guys. I do want to interrupt. It's going to be the Tequila Lime the Tequila Little Time Bar and Grill, and it's the Gay Pride Comedy Show on June 20th. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8.
All right, there
which
you
reminds
go.
Me on that Sunday, or yesterday, that Sunday, yesterday, Jesus. I'm laying at the pool yesterday for about 90 minutes and get up. I took a nap for a second. Woke up, I was in the middle of a pride party. I guess the Luxor pool on Sundays is, you know. I mean, I don't mind at all. It was hilarious. It was just a funny story. It's like, wow. I was dreaming, but then I need to go eat. Went to this great food spot called General Admission. It's, you know, a little sports bar. I forgot the part of town, but Durango Hotel is like across the street.
Yeah.
So wherever. Okay. Yeah. That's what they Southwest. So yeah, there's a little area. You know, you can park and walk around different restaurants and shops, and a little sports bar called General Admission. Food is actually really good. Really good. So.
Yeah.
Besides that, like I said, the Apex was tremendous.
Did they have a lot of sausage, like at the pool party you went to?
I already told you what type of party. Yes, in tiny speedos. Pat Patterson would have been proud.
The bigger question is when you fall asleep for an hour and a half at the pool, Travis, do you get a sunburn?
No, actually, no. So, yeah, I do get sunburn, but it's not like if you touch it, it hurts. It's just my skin peels. Mm-hmm. But you know,
Matt Michaels has swatches at home of different shades of brown. He's trying to go, is it this color or this color?
But the reason I went to the pool was because I needed to tan, like, so that was that. But yeah,
you end up looking like almost when it's all over.
No, she's Nigerian, so
well, there you go. Gay Pride
Travis.
I'm more of a that's it. Almost versus Oba Femi.
There you go.
That would be good.
That's his first main roster call up match.
And then we bring there up Satnam Singh.
And you know what? That's the Royal Rumble spot. That's the Royal Rumble next year. That's the Royal Rumble spot. Almost and Oba Femi as a surprise NXT entrant into the Rumble. Look at that. See, there you go.
And then Satnam Singh and Jeff Jarrett come in with the guitar, and Karen Jarrett's running behind.
Oh, please,
that'd be great.
Yeah. Until next week, everyone.
On this final show of Rick O'Shea in WWE, headed over to possibly another promotion as Ricky O'Shea. So
I think he owns the name because he was Rick O'Shea. He was Ricochet in the Indies.
Oh no, he does own the name. Yeah, he was. It was that era where Hunter was able to get some things done in NXT with people under their real names. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Rick Lachey.
Samoa Joe.
Kevin, no, he changed it.
Eric Young.
Bobby Roode.
Yeah, Eric Young, Bobby Roode. So, yeah, there was a long list. So, good for him. You know, like I said, it's as long as he's happy, you know, it's going to be, you know, fun. And if he goes to AEW, and you know, obviously everyone knows what match they're going to do, I just can't wait till Meltzer gives about a 1 hour review as he jerks off for the seventh time about it.
But kayfabe, that means Samantha Irwin's available, right?
We can log off before we answer any questions about what's going on.
Okay, there we go.